Okay. Okay, do we have any other prayer requests? So, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to intercede in the behalf of people that we don't know. You know what's going on, and you know how to fix it. And so, Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to just fill the situation with your anointing. Father, cause people to see your guidance and your intercession. Father, that they can look to you for their answers. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Open your Bibles up to Psalm 37. Yeah. You didn't bring your Bible? You backslider. I know how it is. All right. I did got some good news. And it's going to fall right in line with our Bible study. And I've been really meditating on Psalm 37 for a while. And it's talking about a lot about what's going on right now in our world. You know, and everybody's all panicked, but they don't actually see what's going on. They're missing the forest because of the trees. One thing, if I can tell you, any problem, anything that you see, take a few steps back and look at the whole picture. See, there's a lot of people that are just focused on just Iran, and they don't understand what's going on. They think it's just about just Iran. But what's really going on is Trump took control of the Strait of Hormuz. So now Iran can't give China $10 a barrel oil anymore. He leveled up the playing field. But they don't understand that he also took control of at least 5 or 6 other straits and canals. You know, like Panama Canal, that's under Trump's control now. See, the people get to you focused on one thing and you miss the whole forest and don't understand. Also, is by doing that, he is putting the petrodollar on its last leg, which means these evil people, these central banks that have been ruling this world, that have been just completely terrorizing the whole world, they're going broke as we speak. As we speak, they're losing money daily. They're losing their power. See, always remember this. Every evil thing that we've been going through, it leads right straight to the central bank. The Federal Reserve. We're getting set free from this. We're reliving history right now. This is the third time we've gotten rid of the Federal Reserve. They're going to go away. It's going to be a great day. But Psalm chapter 37, verse 1, says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Now there's where a lot of people get in trouble. If you go start any kind of conversation in town, you can just run around anywhere, and people are going to be mad about the Epstein files. Some of them are just completely out of their mind about the Epstein files. What are they doing? They're fretting themselves about the evildoers. One thing that we got to understand is it's going to take a little bit of time. But God said, literally, don't be anxious about this stuff. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's what he said to do. He said, don't be anxious about anything. But he did say pray, didn't he? That would be a good start. I can tell, you know, when I talk to people and they're just completely freaked out about what's going on, they're anxious about it, and they're not praying about it. See, you can really change your whole mindset with the Bible. You can stop getting so weirded out about what's going on. All of this is going to be dealt with. In fact, in verse 2, it says, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered like the green herb. Everybody wants it yesterday. Do you understand that it's taken these people hundreds and hundreds of years to get us where we're at to this point? And actually, this central bank has just been in the business for about 100 years. But they were working on it before that. And now everybody wants it cleaned up yesterday. It ain't gonna happen yesterday. But we are seeing cracks in their foundation. You know, we're starting to see some of these politicians step down. They're getting out of races. They're retiring from Congress. They're getting out of the way. They don't want no more of the wreck. They don't want nothing to do with the wreck that's coming their way. They are going to be dealt with. We just have to be patient. Patience. Let patience have her perfect work. That's one of the things that this world really needs to figure out is patience. Patience. You're not going to get everything fixed in a day. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. You notice it didn't say trust in Trump. It didn't say trust in anything else. It didn't say trust in your knowledge. It didn't say trust in your education. It said trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Put your trust in him, and where you're at, he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. You know, if there's one thing that I could, if I could impress one thing into people's minds and their hearts that I deal with, if you're born again, you need to quit sweating about what's going on right now. There's nothing you can do to change it. You can pray about it. There's nothing you can do to change it. Trust in the Lord and enjoy your life a little bit. Amen. Trust in the Lord. And literally, we'll look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. There's a lot of people, there's Christians running around saying they don't know what to do, they don't know where to go. He just said right there, said trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All means all. You don't have to know what's happening tomorrow. Did you know that? See, we got a lot of deep thinkers in our world. And we always seem to think we need this blueprint for our life that we're going to know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, we got next month figured out, and we got next year figured out. Guess what? You don't know in yourself, you don't know what's happening tomorrow. You don't even know what the sun's going to come up tomorrow. But it did say trust in the Lord and you'll be okay, right? See, if people would learn that much. They'd be able to sit back and work through some of these things instead of just reacting to them. People make rash decisions because they get some kind of a fear object hits them, which is what the devil wants. The devil wants to hit you with fear so you can usually overreact. But if we'll just stop for just a little bit, a lot of times these things work themselves out before we even have time to react, don't we? But what happens too many times is if you overreact, you make the problem worse. You make a little problem into a big problem. But he said, trust in the Lord, do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily shall thou be fed. So you're going to be all right. He's going to take care of you. And he said, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Literally have a deep, joyful appreciation. Do you ever stop every once in a while? You know, a long time ago, somebody said I should write out a gratitude list. I wanted to throw rocks at them. Then all these problems and all these challenges, and I couldn't see how to get out of any of them. But he said, write out a gratitude list. Well, now I figured out why that's so important. When you start thanking God for what you have right now and start thanking God for what he's given you, that changes things. See what it does? It actually changes your perspective. And I don't know if you noticed this, but now the scientists have figured out that the earth is made of basically a vibration of a tone. You know, there's a frequency. You know what a frequency is? God's word is a frequency. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You know what happened when Jesus spoke? Something happened. It's his word. So when you take his words and you speak them in the atmosphere, you've just caused a frequency to go into your, not only your ears, but into your situation. You caused a frequency to happen. And frequencies change things. The same way, if you take the devil's words and speak them into the atmosphere, you've just spoken negative frequency into the. You know, when I was a kid, we used to have these dances at school, and we'd bring our favorite tapes to school, and the teachers would say there was just a certain list of tapes we couldn't listen to at the dance, because if you played the tapes backwards, you could hear the devil's voice. I don't know about that, but I tell you this much, though. Yeah, records. But I will tell you this much, that those tapes were made with a negative frequency. The CIA came in and told the music industry to change the frequency of the music, and they put it on a negative frequency, which is why when you listen to that music, you're getting a negative vibration into your body, into your mind, into your soul. That's why it's causing damage. I don't know if I can impress upon you just how important words are, how important these frequencies are, how important the words that you speak are. Because you're causing these vibrations, these frequencies to go out. And I'll tell you one thing about Satanists, devil worshipers, they would speak curses into these tapes. And I don't know if you ever remember back in the day, you'd drive around, you'd see a cassette tape or something like that, and the tape would be alongside the road. It'd be strung out. You know, it looked like it got stuck. Sometimes it did get stuck, but sometimes these Satanists would speak these curses into these tapes. They'd drive down the road, and they'd string that tape out, and they would say, release. So they'd release these curses scattered around towns. And I know that because a Satanist told me that. See, they know how important words are. It's time for the church to figure out how important words are. See, when you start meditating on the Word of God, which is what God told Joshua, He said to meditate on this Word day and night. I mean, all the time. He said, meditate on it all the time. Talk about it. Say that word. You're speaking these frequencies into the air, these positive words. It's going to change things. He said to commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Literally, we entrust our life, we entrust our ways unto God. Here's the interesting thing. People have they have no problem. When they get born again, they have no problem. I entrust my salvation to You. Right? I will take care of my career. That's not what he said. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way unto Him. Literally, turn everything over to Him. He's way smarter than you are. Huh? That's right. His word will not return unto Him void, but it will accomplish that which He sent it to. Amen. That's why he said to remind him of his word. So when we take his word and talk to him about what his word says, guess what happens? He hears that and he honors his word. In fact, he holds his word above his own name. I've actually heard accounts of people that would take the Bible and they would say, they'd open it up to where they needed it. And they'd say, God, Your word says right here that You would meet all my needs according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, or whatever it was they needed. If they needed healing, they could read that. They're doing things probably as scripturally pure as you could possibly do it. You're reading His word right to Him out of His own word, returning it to Him. And it's going to change things. It will change things. It won't return unto Him without something happening. Let's look down here to verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. We'll stop right there. Rest in the Lord. So that's a curious word, don't you think? See, to rest, you can't work. There's an idea running around in the church world that we got to work out. We got to work. Well, the Bible does say work out your own salvation. But the way they construe that is you're going to have to work to earn your salvation. That can't happen. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn your righteousness. You can't earn your holiness. You're going to have to sit down and rest in the Lord and receive these things by faith, right? There's nothing you can do to make yourself righteous. Only God can do that. So you have to set. And actually, Glenn Smith says, before you can ever learn how to walk by faith, You have to first learn how to sit by faith. I mean, you have to stop working. You're resting in the Lord. Amen? So we have some rest. You know, in fact, what Jesus said is those of you that are weary and heavy laden, come to me, take my yoke upon you. He knew these people were under the law and they needed rest. And the only way they could get that rest was in him. There's a lot of Christians that are not taking advantage of that rest that we have in Christ Jesus. The fastest way to get yourself out of that rest is to pick up works. Start trying to earn something from God. You're not going to get there. He said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, this is where America is really having a struggle right now. Wait patiently for him. We're coming to the end of this age, and we're coming into a new age. I see the signs all over the world. I see all these things coming together. I don't just see one aspect of it. I see a whole bunch of things happening. And man, it just makes you really, really want to get there, doesn't it? But we have to wait patiently for him. He's got to work all this out. You know, we're not just in one little aspect. This thing, this evil empire that we're working against has spent hundreds and hundreds, even some say even thousands of years getting us to this point. And here we are thinking that we should have had it already done, you know. We should have had all this taken care of already. That's pretty naive, don't you think? That's a big wreck that we're cleaning up right now. But we're getting there. But we need to wait patiently for Jesus. Here's a couple things about that word wait. One idea of wait is don't get out ahead of God. Don't get out there thinking you're going to hurry things up. We're going to let him work this out in his time. Another idea about this word wait is getting a platter serving God. See, that'll get you into doing something. That'll get you into some activity. That'll get you doing something. Get your mind off of all this craziness that's going on. You're going to help people. You're waiting on God. You're serving him when you do that. When you get out there and you start doing things in the kingdom of God, you're waiting on God. Did you know that? You're serving him. One thing about service work, and you should never ever take this lightly, is there's no job that is a small job. It may seem like a small job, it may seem like an insignificant thing, but don't ever look at it that way. It may seem like a little thing to you, but to God it's a big thing. And I'll tell you why. Because when he sends you out to do something, somebody else is involved. See, there's people involved. And that's not a small thing. Not to God. One soul is a huge thing. In fact, it tells us all of heaven celebrates over one person being born again. How about that? Everybody in the whole world is significant to God. In fact, they are so important to him that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for them. So even if it's picking up chairs somewhere or cleaning floors or anything, no matter how small of a task you may think it is, how unimportant you may think it is, it's not unimportant. It's all part of the whole game plan. You know something about the MVP of the Super Bowl? He had a whole support staff behind him. You know, he had managers making sure he had all his equipment. He had doctors making sure everything was working for him. He had people that practiced with him. You know, there's a practice team, and they don't get to be on TV. They're just a practice team. Right down to the janitors that made sure his locker room was clean. There's always this whole bunch of support staff that was there making sure that the world was turning the right direction in order for this quarterback to go out there and be the MVP. It wasn't just him. It was everybody. That's the same way with the kingdom of God. It's not just one person. You know, sometimes people get this idea that they were really cool and they went to this place and they got somebody born again. Well, praise God they got born again, but you're not that cool. You should thank God that you got to be a part of that system. But you also need to thank God that there was prayer warriors all over the world praying for the lost. People that you will never ever meet, they were praying for them guys. And don't forget about the angels that were running around making sure that this guy, this rascal, got over into your way, in your path. And thank God that some angels got you over into the right place at the right time. And don't forget about the Holy Spirit that drew them to the cross, and Jesus that got on the cross, and God that thought all this up. So there's never just one person. There's always a whole team of people. Amen? There's a lot of things that go in to getting one person born again. Just because you stumbled upon him while you were walking to the mailbox and you managed to get him born again, that doesn't mean you're a superstar. Praise God, you got to be a part of it. And actually, see, Christians are running around wanting to see miracles. And they don't understand that the greatest miracle that you're ever going to see is when somebody gets born again. That's the most amazing miracle ever. Because you just witnessed somebody get brought from death unto life. That's a huge miracle. You just witnessed somebody get brought out of the pit of hell into the kingdom of light. You just watch somebody get taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That's the biggest miracle that you're ever going to see. I don't care if you walk on water. Getting somebody born again is a much bigger miracle than all of that. But he did say, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Stay away from resentment. You know, I don't know anybody that's ever made as much money as Nancy Pelosi in the stock market. You know, you can't imagine how many people are just completely tore up over that. They don't understand the Bible. They don't understand that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just, and God is in the process of stripping their wealth from them so he can return it to you. If anything, you should praise God that we all know about it. Because if we all know about it, something is being done about it. Amen? I read a caption today that Trump had actually pulled 650 cargo planes worth of gold and treasure and money out of the Vatican. Stripped the most powerful bank in the world of their money. Just like that. Our day is coming. The day of the saints is upon us. We just have to wait patiently for him. We didn't get in this wreck overnight. It took a long time to get here. But if you actually sit back and look at it, we've made a lot of progress. We've made a lot of progress in the last few years. Things are going to pick up pace really fast. Rest in the Lord. Trust also in him. Don't get caught up in any of the hype. And don't get worried about what you think somebody's getting away with. Don't fret over evildoers. You know, every day I can find somebody that's going to be mad that these politicians aren't being held accountable. They are. They are. This world is in the process of being set free. We're going into this new age. You've got to know that we're at the end of the age. There's a new earth and a new heaven coming our way. Amen. Whether we get raptured out of here for 7 years, or we come to the end of Satan's little season, the end of the new earth. So I've been trying to convince people it doesn't matter. If you're in Christ, you're good to go. Either way, if you get raptured out of here, you come back after 7 years, you start the millennial reign. That can't be too bad, can it? Well, if they already did that, then we're at the end of the age. Praise God, we got a new heaven and an earth. How bad could that be? See how it doesn't matter. You don't have to know everything, do you? All you really have to know is that Jesus is Lord and that you are in him and he's going to take care of you. Amen? Trust in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I get irritated with some of these eschatologist people or some of these people that think they know eschatology that say, you got to know it exactly what's going on. Like, what do you think I'm going to do, miss the boat? I'm in Christ either way. You think I'm going to miss the train? Wherever we're at, I'm in him. I belong to him. He's taking care of me. He's going to take me wherever I need to go. Could that be too bad? No. Don't get lost in the idea that you have to know eschatology like a pro. Because even the pros of eschatology don't really know where they are. You talk to this one, he says we're in this certain area. You talk to this one, he says we're in this timeline. You talk to this one, we're in another timeline. They're all over the place. They're all over the place. The only thing that really matters is you got the right address. That's what matters. You had the right king. You're in this world, you're not of this world. Wherever your good shepherd takes you, you're going to be just fine. Your good shepherd is never going to take you to a cactus patch. He's going to take you to a green grass patch. Amen? All right. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for taking care of us. Father, we thank you for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you that even though we don't know everything that we think we should, you do know everything. And as long as we put our trust in you, you're going to lead us to where we need to be. And you're going to get us there at the right time. And that we are going to be okay, as we always are okay, because we are wrapped up in you. You are the good shepherd. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.